This is episode number 15 of the Interactive Distractions podcast for the week of March 3rd, 2008. It's time for me to coming up on this week's episode, we've got this week's distractions, gaming news, we let our fanboy colors show, we describe our favorite gaming company, new releases, listener email, and the Scandalous Question of the Week.
Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions.
Thank you, Chris.
You are welcome, Mr. Jason A. Stryker. Hey, you know, this is episode number 15.
I did not know that.
This is, yeah, it's episode number
15. You know what 15
I totally
is.
Thought we were on 16.
What's 15?
One less than 16.
Nice. Hey, we can get our learner's permit.
Next for driving?
No, yeah, learner's permit is 15.
You guys are all crazy down there. I don't know how you're... licensing system works.
Yeah,
I can tell you this. Half the people that drive by there shouldn't be.
Well, that's damn true. I'll give you that. We let stupid 16-year-olds drive. It's a bad idea. But we also let blind 70-year-olds drive, too. So, you know, one extreme to the other.
Oh, that's just fun.
No shit, I went and renewed my license once, and I saw this woman walk up to try and get her eyesight checked, and they were like, all right, now tell us which side the red light is on. What? The red light. What red light?
Oh, shit.
It was horrible. And they just kept talking to her about it until she figured out that she just had to raise her hand, and they gave her fucking license and let her go away. I'm like, oh damn it.
God.
This is ridiculous.
It was like a 50-50 shot that she would get.
Pretty much. And it's like, once you hit the age of 60, you should have to retake your driving exam.
Every year. Opinion.
Every other year.
Every year.
That's every year.
Well, Jason, how you doing, man?
Trade in the car for a walker.
I'm doing good.
A Segway.
You get a discount on a Segway. No, I'm doing good. I'm fat and happy. I just had some dinner. Late dinner. Some Chinese. I've been craving it all day.
Nice.
I'm going to be hungry again in 15 minutes.
Probably. So let's make this quick.
Cool. We'll get through we'll get to the break in like 15 minutes and you can go have a snack.
Sweet.
Jeff, how about you, man?
I was doing good. That leak I talked about a few shows back that we had in our apartment. We had some people come over to fix them up, and they ended up repainting almost an entire apartment and our rooms and just fixing random stuff. And they didn't do a too good job of cleanup, that's for one. So that's what I've been doing since I got home from work. That's why this is delayed recording, of course. It's always my fault. And
well, it is.
I'm going through. Well, I'm not going to lie. My roommate emails me earlier, and he's like, hey, I think the guys who painted our apartment stole my vitamins. I'm like,
what the hell?
Stole your vitamins? I'm like, come on, dude. Like, why the hell would they steal your vitamins? I'm like, how do you know they stole them? He's like, well, because yesterday they were here and today they're not. I'm like, you sure you didn't just misplace them or look under every little thing you have in your room because they did kind of leave a mess and left everything for us to clean up? It's like, no, I'm pretty sure they're gone. I'm like, all right, well, you might want to tell our landlord just in case. So I'm, you know, cleaning my stuff. I'm like hooking up my TV and stuff again and putting stuff back on my shelf. And I realize I'm like, I'm missing some PSP games. Then I realize that Wipeout Pulse is missing, and same with Castlevania, Dracula Chronicles. So I'm like, this is weird. I'm like, first of all, jokes on them if they did take them, because I keep all my PSP and DS stuff in my gym bag that I carry around everywhere, in case I need to play a game or two. So they wouldn't have got the game. And then upstairs, and they would have just had the box. But then I saw that the Castlevania case is actually underneath my bed, which I don't know how it got there, because I put all the stuff on top of my bed so they can cover it up when they're painting. And it's kind of a little bit crushed, so like they threw something on top of it. So I have a little bit of hope that Wipeout is up there somewhere after recording. I'll go up and see if I can find it. But
wow. It's
disappointing either way. I mean, they shouldn't be touching my shit.
Yeah,
that's
no
the way
kidding.
I look at it.
But
these vitamins, were they actually vitamins? Or
they're probably like a supplement or something, like calcium supplement or something like that.
You gotta wonder if they hooked up afterwards and like, so man, what'd you get? Dude, check out these vitamins, man. I got vitamins.
I got this Wipeout Pulse.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Chris, how you doing?
Pretty good, man. I'm pretty sure that I told you guys saw it on the forums, but I'm going to say it on the show too. I did some controller surgery this week.
Oh yeah.
I ripped apart a an Xbox S type controller, the one that actually
donated by
Jason A. Stryker.
Oh, thank you.
You are welcome. And so I ripped it apart, and I actually removed the analog sticks from it, and I ripped apart one of my PS3 controllers and replaced the analog sticks in the PS3 controllers with the sticks from the S controller, because they have concave tops, and I prefer the feeling of that. So it was just kind of an experiment to see if it would work out, and it kind of did. The left stick kind of is tight against the casing, but it works. I mean, I played Resistance with it, and it was fine. Mm-hmm. But it also, after talking about it on Gamers Liberation Front, it was brought to my attention that there was an analog joystick for the PS1 that had concave sticks. The original analog controller for the PS1 had dual concave sticks. So now
did it
I'm like,
come out though, or was it just the prototype?
No, it did come out. It came out in Japan, and I remember this too because
they
I was
came
working
out
here
at, too.
Right, but yeah. They came out in Japan and actually had Rumble in them.
Oh wow! Huh.
In Japan, and I remember this because we imported them at the store that I worked at, then they took the Rumble out when they brought it to America. And then the big difference between that and the DualShock was that the DualShock had two motors. And the analog from Japan only had one.
Hence, dual.
Yeah. So, I swear I had one of those controllers, and I looked through my shit, and I don't. So, I'm going to try and look for one of those. Checked eBay, and there was nothing. So, the search is on. That's going to be my next experiment.
So, you like the innies, not the outies?
Definitely.
Yeah, I'm an innie fan, too.
But cool.
Outies are too slippery. Get in the way.
My fingers slip off them. Well, cool. Cool. Jason, what's distracting you from real life this week?
Piddly shit. Nothing major. I don't know. How Rock Band, of course. Love that. Devil May Cry 4. I really haven't touched that one
still
this week. Yeah, still going at it, but not nearly as much. I think I only did like one or two stages this past week, so not real hardcore into it right now. So,
but you're on the third difficulty level now, right?
Yeah, and it's getting friggin' tough, dude. Oh my god! Like the first two times, not bad. You know, the first time through obviously was pretty damn easy, but second time it's slowly ramping. Like I'm fighting those Blitz guys pretty regularly now, and it's like,
oh okay, yeah.
Oh, they're fucking nasty.
I'm
aside from that,
you're a Devil May Cry fan, and I haven't even played it through once.
Well, you've been, you've been a little preoccupied with male midriff, so.
You know. That's true. That is true.
Do your thing, man. No, and plus, I've been playing that, getting pissed off at that. I think I'm done with that. I think I'm plateaued on that game. I just can't go any further. It's too hard. Also on the 360, I've been playing a lot of Puzzle Quest. Just because I haven't had a lot of time for like serious gaming, so I've just been popping this in every now and again when I have time. We picked up Professor Layton on the DS. I got that from my wife, and she is very much in love with that. I think we'll talk about that a little bit later, though. On DVD, I got King of Kong. Finally, got to see this, and I recommend
it. I'm interested in this because I haven't seen it.
Any gaming fan.
Oh yeah,
it's a really cool documentary, Andy. You know, a lot of documentaries are just very sterile, and they're just documenting the footage and not really telling a story. This is definitely a very entertaining documentary. I had a great time with it. PC. I got a new video card. Got one of those new GeForce 9600s. And so I've been trying out some old games like WoW, City of Heroes, Orange Box, through an Unreal Tournament 3. Look gorgeous. Having a lot of fun with that. A majority of my time has been spent learning C#, though, because I think we're about at the point where we're going to start getting into the XNA studio. Chris and I and some other friends. Nice. So. Yeah,
I can't wait, actually.
We're hoping
your game better not fucking suck.
Oh, it will.
Yeah, you got to give us a couple of chances on our first try, you know, to make it. But we're talking about
for you guys, man.
Yeah, right. We're talking about some sort of 2D side-scrolling, you know, beat-em-up platform or something basic.
That's never been done before. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, never been done before. But
or we're just going to rip off Bejeweled.
Pretty much. There you go. Just like everybody else, you know.
Yeah.
But we're going to actually try and talk about that with the person we have lined up for art next week. We're going to see if we can get some concepts down and get to it. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'll say Chris and I are pretty lucky. We're not going in completely green. Go ahead, Jeff.
I said make it an Indus game. Make it based on us.
Oh, that was 3 copies. For each of us.
That's all we need.
And we get them free. So, I mean, now Chris and I both have a programming background, so we're not coming in completely green. I mean, Chris definitely more so than I, but, you know, we've also, from working on Pocket Otaku, we've got like a whole stable of artists as well. So we're very fortunate to have, you know, a pretty dedicated team already out of the gate. So I think we can make this happen.
Yeah. We'll see.
Hold on. Be positive. Oh,
I am positive. I'm very optimistic about this. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Well, I am too.
Can I review it?
No.
No.
All right. That's been my week focus.
Cool, cool. Jeff, how about you, man?
A lot of stuff for not too long, basically, what's been distracting me. We'll start with the PS2, actually. Played a little bit of God of War 2 in preparation for Chains of Olympus.
Chains of motherfucking Olympus.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Also, was that... Go ahead, Jay.
I said it's going to suck.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it will.
Be positive, sucks, Jay, remember?
I'll give up.
Fuck gaming. You.
I went to EB on the weekend, and I've always wanted to pick up a certain RPG. I remember wanting to buy it when just came out, and I was like, you know what, I'm not going to buy it, because I decided to go and start Final Fantasy XII again. I was like, I'm going to be Final Fantasy XII first before I get this game. And then lately, I've kind of been looking for it. I can't find it anywhere, and I found out through a lot of forums stuff that's actually really rare to find is a copy of Persona 3. So I was like, all right, well, I'm going to take a look on Amazon, and it was on Amazon going for $150, and I was like, holy shit. So I went to check eBay. And they range anywhere from, well, $30 to $100-something, depending on how much time's left on the bid. So I was like, all right, well, looks like I'm not getting that game. But I met EB the other day, and not only do I see it there, I see a brand new sealed one.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, sweet up. So for regular price, I haven't opened it yet. I want to play it. I'm not sure, because in news, there's a new version of it coming out soon. And I don't know if I should just sell it and buy the newer version, but I don't know. I'm kind of a collector's whore, and I think,
I would sell it, get your money back, and then some, and then just put it towards the new version that's coming out. Yeah, unless, you know, as you said, you're a collector whore, so I don't know.
That's the thing. Like, I'm not like a huge collector whore, but I always buy those games and wish I always kept them, like Panzer Dragoon Saga, and like now I'm really kicking myself for that kind of stuff, and I'm thinking like, yeah. And I had this sitting here. I'm like, I'm definitely gonna play it. That's for sure. Like, I'm not gonna keep it sealed because I want to play the game, but I don't know. We'll see. But I was pretty surprised to find that. I'm like, oh my god, I have to buy this now. I really didn't like have the money at the time. I'm like, ah, fuck it. I just bought it on Mint Impulse because it was regular price, and I saw it earlier like that week for like $150. I'm like, yeah, gotta get it.
I haven't played it yet though.
That's so for that's, one day, one episode, I'll talk about it.
That's what credit cards are for.
Save for any day. PS3, Devil May Cry 4. I played one level. So I'm one level further in Devil May Cry 4. 360, Lost Odyssey, I'm on the third disc. Probably about a quarter of the way through the third disc right now.
Oh, nice.
I wouldn't say zipping through. I'm not reading a lot of the dreams, so that take forever to read. So I'm looking at some of my other friends who have it, and they're like, disc 3 or disc 2, 30-something hours. I'm like, holy crap, how come you put so much like into it? Because the game's pretty linear. There's not really too much freedom in it. And I'm at probably just under 20 hours, about a quarter of the way through the third disc. So, yeah. So I guess they're reading all the dreams and stuff like that. I guess that counts as time in the game. So yeah. I guess depending on if you do all that, it's like a 70-hour game. But if you don't, it's like probably about 30 to 40.
I'd probably do what you would do. Just skip all that shit.
It's like I read the first couple, and then I was like, okay, they're too long.
Yeah, and that's kind of the way it worked for me on like Mass Effect with the Codex. Yeah, it's like I read like the first 3 or 4 entries in the Codex, and I was like, you know what, fuck this, I'm not gonna read all this shit. So, and just went with the game.
The ones lost are very well written. They're really good. I can't remember the guy's name who wrote them, but I'm hoping maybe someone's crazy enough to do this, but type them all out in like text format so you can just download them and read them. But because I don't know, I'd rather read them that way after I beat the game or something. But
there's definitely people crazy enough, I think.
Think so?
That are into the whole midriff and furry thing.
People do. Yeah, people do like facts and game guides for fun, and that's tedious as hell.
Yeah, you ever gone to GameFAQs.com and seen some of the stuff they do?
Oh yeah,
it's pretty crazy.
I actually went back way back in the day. I was probably 16 or 17 or something like that. That was a long time ago.
Nerd.
That was the other one.
Yeah. Nerd.
I was never into furries though, so come on.
I downloaded it N+ because I played the demo and I was so addicted to it. I don't think I played an Xbox Live Arcade demo as much as I did N+. I was like, this is awesome. And I love the custom soundtracks with everything. So I'm like listening to music, just kind of playing over the same. I think there's like 8 levels in the demo, I think. Let's play them all. And some of them take like literally 5 seconds to complete, but you're just like playing through. So finally, you know what? I'm going to download that. And like Jay said, it gets freaking hard. Like very hard. To the point I'm like, this is fucking impossible. Yeah. I don't understand.
The fuck do they do this? You know what I found out, though, is that they actually have, for some of the top-tier levels, I think like maybe the top 10 players, they have videos on how they did it. Like it'll actually do like a demo record type thing.
Oh, that's cool.
You can go through the high score list, and then like the top 10, you just hit like Y or whatever to watch them play it. You get to see exactly how they do it. I'm like, oh,
that is
fuck
awesome.
Yeah. That is so cool.
Yeah, you know, I saw another game that's sorry, this is going to be kind of off-topic, but... you know, Ninja Gaiden 2 was supposed to be doing that, too.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Where they record a stage and... Yeah.
The reason why I can't wait is because so many people in some of the boards we go to and stuff that maybe experience Ninja Gaiden for the first time on PS3, they kind of say, like the combo system isn't as deep or isn't as fun or whatever. It's like a Devil May Cry 4, just because Devil May Cry 4 is much easier to pull off combos. But I wish they could see, like... That's what I'm hoping, that they can see some of these guys who really play the game... just go through these levels with ridiculous speed, and some of them can go through like entire action sequence without even like touching the ground. Like, it's just so awesome. We're seeing some YouTube videos on the Xbox version and stuff that I could never even dream of doing, because it's just, you have to know the game like the back of your hand. But it just shows, if you put the time into it and you learn all the combos and how to use them, it's just, you look like a fucking badass.
Very cool.
I downloaded the dishwasher.
Ha!
I really like it. It's really cool. It's the XNA game. You played that last week, right, Jay? You're talking.
Yeah,
about it.
I played a little bit. I mean, very important to note that this was done by one guy.
One guy. In his room. Kind of scares me that he was an actual dishwasher in a restaurant, and now he's making this about a dishwasher ninja who hacks people to death with two cleavers. That is kind of creepy, but it's really funny. It kind of like had this kind of Devil May Cry feel, how you can like combo the guy and then hit him up in the air.
Launch him up in the air.
So cool. It's really, really impressed me. I was like, wow, if even 10% of people who do XNA, hopefully you guys are in that 10%, have games like this, I think that's pretty awesome. Like, MS is onto something, and that's great for these guys developing them. PSP, doing a bunch of, because I had all my stuff packed away in my room, I had nothing but the PSP to play for the last couple days, so usual Street Fighter Alpha Max, Siphon Filter. Jeanne d'Arc, which I'm sad to say, I think I might be done with that game, but only because I haven't played the game in so long. I went back to it, and I kind of forgot how to do stuff, and I went to try to do this battle, and I got my ass kicked like 4 times in a row, and I'm just like, you know what? I just can't do this. It's just, yeah.
I only got about halfway through the game, maybe, and I put it down for so long. After I came back, I had no idea what was going on, so I haven't touched it since.
And I'm not even that far. I think I'm on, like, Battle 8 or something. it's just like 5 archers, and I have one dude who is an archer, and then I just get slaughtered because I can't hit those guys because they're so far away, and there's, I don't know. I have to find bows or something. I don't know where to find them. I don't know. GameFAQs, that's what I'll do. GameFAQs. purchased Wipeout Pulse. Again, it was another impulse buy. I'm at GameRama by my house, and I went in there for... What reason did I go in there for? I can't actually remember. Oh, I went in there to actually see if they had the Lost Odyssey strategy guide, just because some of the bosses in that game are ridiculously hard if you're not ready for it. And I don't have time to kind of spend 5 to 8 tries beating a boss, so I wanted to see if they have it. They didn't have it, which turned out okay. I'm still kind of progressing without a problem. But I saw Wipeout there for $29.99. I was like, I didn't realize it was only $29.99, so I bought it. Like, if it was $39.99, I would have been like, yeah, it's like a regular PSP game. I probably would have been like, yeah, I'll get it when I, you know, really need a PSP game. Because I was like, wow, $29? I'm going to buy it. Why not?
You know, I'm noticing that, though, is with a lot of PSP games, that the price ranges are now $29 to $39 as opposed to the $39 to $49 that they were when they first came out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, God of War's coming out next week, and it's 39 instead of 49. You know, I would expect it to be 49.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And same with Crisis Core. I think that one's going to retail for 39 as well.
That'd be awesome. I almost picked up a DualShock 3 when I was there, too, because they import them there. They had a white one and a black one for $64.99 or $69.99. I can't remember how much it was, but at the time we didn't have the price of what they were going to be here, so I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna buy one. But there is only, now that we found out, you'll find out news that there's not too much of a difference how much they're going to be selling them when they get here anyway, so I might still pick one of those up on the weekend.
Just yeah, I see them online for about $60, so with shipping. That works out to be the same.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I'm probably going to look up get one, too. It just, I mean, it makes sense. It's like, when it was coming out in March, it was like, okay, I can wait, no big deal. And now that I'm seeing that, you know, you can get them online for $60 plus shipping, and I can get it now instead of waiting another 2 months, then, you know, probably grab one.
I'm holding it up for a bundle of sorts. More on that later.
Definitely. And, yeah, and Wipeout Pulse, other than that, is a really good game. It is hard, but I like the way how it's hard, how it teaches you. You basically have to know the levels, like Glenn was saying last week, how you have to know the tracks, basically. And it teaches you each tier you go into, you're on a certain kind of track, and they kind of lightly bring you into it, and by the end of the tier, you know that track like the back of your hand, and you're just going racing through it and kicking some ass. So it's got a pretty steep learning curve, but it's a decent one that I think most people will be able to handle. And that game is pretty. Looks good.
Yeah, cool.
It's like a PS2 game on crack. But other than that, that's about it.
Cool.
All right, well, let's see. PS3, more Rock Band. I was playing drums and got to Vaseline by Stone Temple Pilots, and it kicked my ass.
Dude.
I don't know, man. That one's pretty tough. My foot's not that I'm playing on hard. But my foot's not that disconnected from my arm yet, so I'm still working on that. Played some more Resistance, as I said earlier, with my new concave stick PS3 controller. and that worked out pretty well. I think I'm close to beating the game, so I'm gonna put some more time into it and try and just finish through it. 360. I finished Assassin's Creed. Finally.
Good. I'm glad you got it out of your system.
Yes, it's out of my system.
Now
I'm done.
Get rid of it.
Well, I'll keep it over there for now. It'll stay on its little shelf. But I mean, I really, really did have a lot of high hopes for this game, and it was still fun, but I was disappointed. And the only thing that was more disappointing than the game itself was the ending. Good God. It's fucking stupid.
I don't even know the ending. I didn't beat it. I never will, so don't
yeah,
worry.
it's I don't wanna, I'm not gonna spoil anything for anybody who might be listening and playing the game, but it's like it basically doesn't connect any dots at the end. It doesn't tell you anything that you want to know. And then it ends by you like you know the eagle vision that he's got, that Altair's got? Well, all of a sudden when you wake up after your last vision, you have eagle vision and you walk into a room and you use your eagle vision and you see a marking on the wall and it says, oh, what's that? And the credits roll. It's like, what the fuck? You know, it's like, I mean, I've heard of leaving the door open for a sequel, but it's like, now I feel ripped off. It's like, I have no idea what the hell just happened. So, I don't know. I played The Dishwasher too. I, like Jeff, had a lot of fun with it. It was definitely, it was encouraging. It was very encouraging to see that one person can do something like that with XNA because, I mean, I was like you said, Jeff, I was having a lot of fun doing some of those combos because, I mean, I mean, you could play it as a button masher, but you can there's a lot of little subtle combos that you can do, like launching them up in the air and, you know, swiping the hell out of them and, you know, knocking them down back into the ground and stuff. It was a lot of fun. So, I wish there was a little more of it though.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. I don't like how they give you just a little taste. You can play them for 15 days, and that's pretty much it until, I guess they launch in December or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes, not for a while.
But that's it on my consoles. On my portables, have been getting a lot of love lately. PSP, I've been playing more Genesis Collection. I'm still playing Phantasy Star 4.
That's hard to pick up.
It's, man, it's so good. I mean, it's, even now, it still holds up, you know? It's, It's like, even though you look at it and you see that it's like, oh, look, 16-bit graphics. Mm-hmm. I mean, but it looks better than I remember it looking, you mm-hmm. know? And I don't know if it's just me, but it's fantastic game. I also picked up Pata 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 Pon. The game is fucking awesome. But I think the retail version's harder than the demo. Because, you know, with the demo, the one that they sold from EB, if you complete the demo, mm-hmm. you get to save your progress, and you can pick up right where you left off with the retail game. And you also get, like, a special in-game item or something, which I've actually seen it on my inventory, but I haven't been able to mess with it yet. But it's like the boss that you fight at the end of the demo. It's like the first like dinosaur looking guy that you fight, and I beat him in the demo, and I only lost two of my Patapons. I lost one of my melee guys and one of my spear guys, mm-hmm. and I fought him twice on the retail version, and he raped me both times. I mean, he has an attack. It's like in the demo, he would either like headbutt you and knock your Patapons across the screen. Or breathe fire. I mean, you guys remember me talking about that.
Yeah.
Well, in the retail version, he has a third attack where he kind of squats down and then shoots his head up in the air, knocks one of the Patapons in the air, and eats him.
Okay.
And they die instantly. It's like, fuck! You know? So I'm at the point where that guy is kicking my ass right now, and I'm trying to figure out the strategy to beat him.
Do you keep any experience or anything like that every time you go through the level and die, or no?
Because
you can like level up and stuff in that game, right?
Not really. It's more of a real time strategy game. So it's basically what you're doing is you're getting new equipment and stuff. But that stage is all it is the boss. There's like you don't get any equipment or anything before getting to the boss. So you either fight the boss and win, or you fight the boss and lose. And I've fought him twice and lost both times. So. I actually started a new game, and I'm trying to see if doing it that way will get me different equipment, or maybe I'll have more Patapons by the time I get to them, or whatever. So we'll see how that works out. Let's see. And then I, like Jason, picked up Professor Layton for the DS. I am enjoying the crap out of this game. I mean, Jason, I know we talked about it a little bit today, but I think I've done like 45 of the puzzles.
Oh wow!
And I'm on chapter like 4.
Okay.
I'm not sure how many puzzles they are, but now I'm getting into all the ones that I really enjoy that most people don't. It's like I suck at riddles, right? So if it's a riddle, I probably won't get it. But you throw something at me that's like that requires some sort of mathematics, get it in a second, no problem. It's like there are these there's like these 20-point riddle problems that I'll sit there for an hour and just look at like, what? And then they'll give me this 50-point algebra problem that I work out in like 30 seconds. It's like, all right, cool. So I'm starting to really enjoy it. Huh? Yeah. I mean, I
don't want to do a game when I don't want to play a game where I'm doing algebra equations.
That's
not my idea of fun. Well, I went through like how many years of my life doing shit like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't have to tell me, man. I minored in math. I took 4 quarters of calculus. I took all kinds of shit. You know, shit that people would never dream of putting themselves through.
Yeah, you're
and,
crazy.
You know, so it's I don't know. It's just a refreshing view on this type of game. I mean, it's like a brain training game, but it's got a story behind it, and it's more adult oriented puzzles. Not like adult, as in they have adult themes.
Where do you stick the penis?
But I mean, it's not like what's 2 times 5 or something like that. You know, it actually makes you think. It's mm-hmm. it's something that makes you think on a larger scale, as opposed to the quick, you know, 2 times 5, 3 plus 4, yeah. you know, that kind of thing. Hmm.
I sure hope they come up with an essay writing one. That'd be awesome.
Fuck you, Jeff.
Professor Layton's gym class.
Go the fuck outside.
Cafeteria.
I don't remember who said it.
School.
I think it was GameSpot that said it. Even though I hate GameSpot now. Someone said they do fucking suck. And someone else left now recently. Did you hear about
that?
Yeah. They're dropping like flies. There's not going to be anybody left next, by like next month.
I think it's all planned. I think they're doing it. I think we talked about this before, didn't we? Or did I can't remember. My theory is once Jeff went, they all said, okay, you know, listen, we're all just going to quit. And due to contractual things or whatnot, or maybe they said, okay, listen, let's just one of us quit 1 month, every single month afterwards. Because I know Jeff Gerstmann has, not Jeff Gerstmann, who is the other guy? Ryan Davis.
Yeah.
He has his podcast now, arrowpointingdown.com.
Yeah.
We actually listened to it for the first time yesterday. With Jeff Gerstmann's on there now, too. And they also, yesterday, they had, or the other day, they had, what's the other guy's name? Aaron? Navarro. Alex Navarro.
Okay.
Oh, so, yeah. And then they also had a mystery guest and I'm not sure who the mystery guest was, and I don't want to start rumors or nothing, but it sounded a bit like Brad Schumacher from GameSpot, who hasn't quit yet or left. So, but he was on it, and they never referred to him by name, and they always kept calling him the mystery guest. So, I'm thinking they're all just going to set off their own stuff and, you know, basically have their own site.
Hey, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. I don't blame them.
All the power to them.
But they said that Professor Layton is to, like, the brain training games, what Puzzle Quest was to puzzle games. And I kind of agree with that. I mean, it seems like it's tedious stuff, Jeff, but until you play it, you really don't know, because it really is.
I love the riddle stuff, like riddles and stuff like that, I love.
Yeah, I'm actually, there's one puzzle so far that I've gotten to that I couldn't figure out. Mm-hmm. And I'm still trying to figure that one out. I'm not going to get into it. Jason, you got it too. What do you think about it?
I only went through like three or four of the initial riddles. I had to like pre-play it to make sure that Lisa would like it. But it's got a very unique, not anime style, but animated style.
Yeah, it's like a European animation style.
Kind of, sort of. Yeah. Very close. They've got voice acting in it, which is really cool. I love the storyline so far, which is really, really, it's cute.
Yeah. You
know? I don't know what else I can really say. The puzzles seem to be, like you said, a mixed match of between like, riddles and the mathematical stuffs.
But right.
I dig it so far. Lisa's just going gaga over it. She'll keep running over to me and showing me stuff. And I'm like, oh, honey, that's nice. But she's like, I love my game. So she gives it a very, very big thumbs up.
Cool. Yeah, but that's it for me. I mean, it's been a portable week. That's what I've been hitting mainly. It's like every time I would come home, I'd pick up Professor Layton, and I'd play it for like an hour, and then I'd put it down and watch some TV to, you know, reset my brain and go back to it and stuff like that. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it.
I'm just waiting for her to put it down, so I'm going to swipe it. I'm trying to get
Now you each have a DS, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Just checking. Well, cool. Jeff, what's going on in news this week?
News.
Let's move right on.
News. Let's do some news. First thing up, Capcom is getting sued over Dead Rising similarities.
Boom.
MKR Group. Yep, and New Line Cinema. And for those who don't know, they're the ones who did the whole Dawn of the Dead and. Those types of movies are going mm-hmm. after Capcom, saying that the likeness to their movies is too similar and that they're pretty much ripping them off.
Yeah.
President of, I guess, the MKR group, I can't remember his name, it's not important, he's being a douche, so it doesn't matter, had this say, said, both works are dark comedies. In both, the recreational activities of the zombies and absurdly grotesque kill scenes provide unexpected comedic relief. Both works provided thoughtful social commentary of the mall culture, zeitgeist, in addition to serving up a sizable portion of sensationalistic violence. So, basically, I guess they're kind of what they copyrighted the entire zombie genre of anything.
It's like, you made a movie about zombies. That's very descriptive.
This one in particular, it is very similar. It's definitely more of an homage.
Yes, I'd say so.
It's not a direct rip of the script or anything like that, you know?
No.
Yes, there's lots of zombies. Yes, it's in a mall. Similarities are
it's like a
pretty
parody
much... That's almost.
It's like...
Almost.
Yeah, like it's, you know, and who knows what'll happen. And the person, like the guy's name, I can't remember his name, was he was a producer or something on the first, what was the first one, Day of the Dead? No, Dawn of the Dead. I can't remember which one the first one was. Back in 1979, I think, is when the first one came out, right?
Yeah, Dawn or the Dawn or Day.
Dawn of the Dead or something.
I'm gonna, I don't know. Oh man, I should know this stuff. I'm sorry.
But yeah,
so honestly, I've never seen any of them, so.
No?
No.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they're going after Capcom. I can see this just probably settling out of court somehow because these things never seem to go anywhere. And I think it's ridiculous that they try to sue something like that. It's kind of like, it's like a genre. You can't sue somebody for making something in a genre of game or film.
It's pretty need funding for the next movie.
Yeah, no kidding. We're speaking of a little bit, well, Jason led to this a little bit earlier. Sony is basically dating the DualShock 3 and Metal Gear Solid 4 and a bundle of Metal Gear Solid 4 and the DualShock 3. Yeah, are you looking to get this, Jay, or what?
I might, because I've been toying around with the idea of getting one of the next-gen consoles for my son, Callan, and I don't know which one I should go with, but now I'm kind of leaning towards the PS3.
Well, Jason, for $499.99, you can pick up an 80-gig PS3.
Holy shit.
DualShock Controller 3.
What?
And a brand new copy of Metal Gear Solid 4.
OMG.
Yeah. FGW. $99. And ask, when is this coming out? You think, you know, November, December, October?
December?
No, Jason.
Really? Is it coming out around the time as early as
June 12th?
Oh my god. Nice.
OMG. Big time. But, yeah, it's not a set date, but that's kind of what
OMFG. WTF.
Okay, enough with that shit.
This is a really good move for them, though, I think.
A fucking awesome move. I mean, don't think...
Love the bundle.
I honestly didn't see this coming. I did not think they would pack in Metal Gear Solid 4.
No way.
At all.
Not especially... And they're packing in the DualShock, too. I mean, that's great. I mean, that's what everybody's been wanting, too. It's like, now that you have the DualShock 3, put it in with the fucking system. You know?
Yep.
And now they're doing that, and they're putting their biggest exclusive title of the year in there with it. I mean, Konami said they wanted to sell 1 million copies on day one. There you go.
Yep. Yeah, they're not like throwing in Marvel Ultimate Alliance or anything.
Right? No, exactly.
Like, no, I'm sorry, that was a rip.
They're not doing what fucking Microsoft did, where they release a Halo 3 console
with
that
no
doesn't
game.
Come with Halo 3.
Yeah.
This is a Metal Gear Solid bundle with Metal Gear Solid 4.
Funny how that works, isn't it?
It is. It is funny. And there's another game coming out next week for the PSP, and we're on the topic of bundles. So what if I told you you could pick up a brand new red God of War-themed PSP?
I'd say you're crazy.
I'd say I want it now.
Wait. Just wait. There's more. There's more. Comes with a super bad movie. On UMD.
Which is
it really?
Yeah. And it comes with more.
It does come with more. I wasn't going to get to that quite yet, but okay, it does come with more. It comes with a voucher for...
Let him do his thing.
This for Siphon Filter Combat Ops, free downloadable over PSN. So, and for on your PSP. All four, how much do you guys say? You're getting a movie, you're getting a... Okay, I'm dragging this out. It's $199.99.
It's over 9,000.
So yeah, that'd be basically. It's
wait, is that four easy payments of $199.99?
No, Jason, that is one easy payment of $199.99.
The only problem I have with this is that it's not coming out next week.
Yes, I know. It is.
I mean, I would actually go out and buy another PSP for that.
I was thinking about it. I was like, that looks pretty sick. But,
yeah, and it's red, and red is awesome.
Yeah, it is a cool red. It's not like a gay kind of like, look at me prancing around in flowers red. I don't even know what that means, but it's a cool looking red, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's a pretty looking system. It's pretty
sexy. For sure.
I don't know.
Shiba.
I think the shade of red is kind of pretty. Like in a
like
in a
guy.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the finish on a car.
Yeah,
yes,
it does.
That's what it looks.
It really looks like the finish on a car. On a
now,
nice
now,
bright.
If, instead of Kratos on the back, if they had Hello Kitty,
then it would be good.
It would still work. The color scheme. I'm just saying.
Blood, Jason. It's blood. From Kratos' chains.
Right. Okay. Is that why it's glossy? I don't know. Okay.
Yes, that's exactly why
proceed,
it's glossy.
Proceed.
The people in Athens bleed glossy blood. Toshiba is buying out some cell-producing plant for Sony, and they'll produce cell chips for Sony to put in their PS3, which is kind of awkward timing considering how Sony pretty much just put Toshiba out of business for their HD DVD, so now they're buying up these cell plants. So, I don't know, kind of makes you wonder if there's kind of a little bit of a deal there maybe beforehand.
But I mean, no, I don't think so.
I think there could have been some kind of incentive. They're kind of like, okay, listen, like, it's going to happen anyway. You guys just, I'm not saying this definitely happened, but you guys, you know, you're going to have to give up eventually. You're going to. Toshiba probably went to them maybe and said, listen, we're going to concede our format. We're interested in this. What can you do? I mean, it's money for both of them, right?
Yeah, but this is something that they actually talked about several months ago, isn't it? Not only that, but Toshiba had a huge hand in the creation of the cell in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to say it's impossible that's what happened, but...
Let us speculate, Chris. Let us speculate.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Speculate all you want. But I don't agree.
All right.
Shaky fist.
Well, MS seems to agree with the whole discontinuing HD DVD, because they've just discontinued their HD DVD add-on for the 360.
Big surprise.
So don't look for those in stores anytime soon, unless you're looking for liquidation sales or anything like that. So everyone saw that one coming as well.
Down to 50 bucks.
Didn't they also drop the price to like 50 bucks?
Yeah, something like that. 50 bucks, yeah.
It's still not worth it.
A couple weeks prior, it was like at 129, and then all of a sudden, yeah, 50 bucks here.
50 bucks. And I heard a rumor, I don't know, I couldn't find anything concrete on this because I didn't really look too hard, to be honest, but I heard that DreamWorks is going to follow through with their exclusivity deal with HD DVD until told otherwise. Do you guys read anything about this, that DreamWorks is still going to release HD DVDs?
No, DreamWorks and Paramount are the same...
They're the same company.
The same umbrella. Yeah. Paramount has already said that they're moving over, so...
That's what I thought, because someone told me that. Sure. I was like, that doesn't really make sense to me, but...
The one thing that I'm noticing right now, though, is that I don't think anybody is really prepared for this, because there are movies that are coming out right now that are only on DVD. They're not...
Yeah,
like big titles... from Paramount and Universal that are only on DVD. There's no mention of HD DVD, and there's no mention of Blu-ray. Like, Beowulf is coming out, right? And it's like coming out on DVD next week or whatever, but there's no mention of Blu-ray or HD DVD. So, I don't think
there was HD DVD in there at some point, for sure.
Right, and then they probably, you know, they pulled it, but I don't know. I want to buy Beowulf, but I want it to be on Blu-ray.
More discontinuing stories. Phil Harrison resigns from Sony.
No!
As of April 1st, is it? He's no longer going to be the head of Sony marketing, or public relations, whatever the hell he did. I can't remember his actual title.
Sony Worldwide Studios, wasn't he?
He was, basically. He was the guy who'd go up at conferences like E3 and stuff and talk about Little Big Planet and Home and all that kind of stuff. He was like the Brit... with the accent. He was probably one of the only guys in the industry that you could actually stand to listen to for more than 5 minutes without laughing hysterically at dumb things they say.
Yeah, pretty much. He was probably the best face in gaming, I think.
Him or Peter Moore were both really good.
Best mouthpiece? Or face?
Yeah, mouthpiece.
There we go.
Kind of both. Let's put it this way. When both those guys went up on stage, you believed in what they were saying. That they actually had heart in what they were doing, and they knew what they were talking about.
Well, what really made me respect Phil Harrison was there was an interview with him about the whole Rumble thing after they settled with Immersion and said that they were going to bring out a DualShock 3, and they were like, so this whole Rumble is last gen, and you know, Tilt is this gen, and you know, Phil came right out and said, well, what did you want me to say, that we were in a lawsuit?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he straight up came out and said it, and I was like, you know, I really respect that he is willing to be that blunt about it and not take, you know, gamers as a bunch of fools.
Yeah.
And that's what really made me like Phil Harrison, and now he's leaving. And
And now, of course, everyone's putting, like, speculating again that, oh my god, is he jumping from a sinking ship kind of thing? I mean, the same thing that happened when Peter Moore went to EA Sports, right? Everyone was like, oh no, Peter Moore's leaving Microsoft. What does this mean? It doesn't mean anything. It means they got a bigger paycheck. That's basically what it comes down to.
Oh, no, I mean, the only speculation I've heard is that it had something to do with him calling out Sony of Japan.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, people are speculating that he was forced to resign because of the bullshit because he called bullshit on Sony of Japan.
Really?
About the whole casual gaming market thing.
Well, there's rumors that there's also rumors that he might have been going to Atari, which I don't think would be a good move. But
I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, I think I'm the one.
Studio anymore, or are they just a logo? I don't understand.
I don't get it either. 1 week you're hearing Atari's no more, bankrupt, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then it's like, he's going to going to Atari. What the fuck?
Huh.
But he's gone either way.
Yeah.
Cry if you guys would like, if you want to take a moment of silence. I'm sure clown it.
I mean, anybody who is into gaming should. I mean, seriously, Phil Harrison was the best spokesman for the industry. In my opinion, he was.
Yeah. So. No, it sucks when people like that leave.
Yeah, I agree.
But not much.
Goodbye,
you can do.
Phil. You will be missed.
Yes. Well, talked about EA for a bit. EA offered $2 billion apparently for Take-Two Studios, and Take-Two currently owns, like, well, 2K Boston, 2K Australia, BioShock, Rockstar Games, which would mean Grand Theft Auto 4. Apparently, that EA made this offer for $2 billion a while back. And kind of like secretly, they basically said, listen, we're going to offer you guys $2 billion to buy you guys out. And Take-Two denied them. So what happened was EA went public with it because it's some kind of legal thing where if you go public, they have to let the investors know, like, this is a big opportunity so they can have some pull in what happens. So I'm not sure if that's considered to be like a douchebag move in the industry or whatnot when you're buying someone out, but I guess kind of puts a little bit more pressure on them. They also said another thing is Rockstar apparently was coming under their contract or something like that was going to expire with Take-Two, and or they wanted to break free, kind of like what Bungie did with Microsoft, and be their own thing. So this big thing is EA's like, okay, well, people are saying, well, EA wants to buy out Take-Two right before Grand Theft Auto 4 comes out. How kind of convenient. But EA's saying, we don't want Take-Two for Grand Theft Auto 4. We want Take-Two for the sports game. So basically, they want to monopolize sports.
Exactly.
Which would really, really suck. Like, really suck.
Yeah, because they already pretty much have a monopoly on, you know, on the football, as it is. You know, they own the license to NFL. They own the license to the AFL. They own NCAA's license.
Mm-hmm.
I think they even went as far as, didn't they go as far as to get, like, the Canadian Football League or something? I don't know.
I saw some arena football, too.
They have arena football.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. There's, like, multiple iterations of each, you know, league.
Yeah.
And granted, they've gotten rid of, like, NFL Street or whatever, but only to pick up, like, FIFA Street.
Yeah, and now they're bringing out NFL head coach again.
Head coach.
I'm so excited.
I'll just be pissed, like, because it just ruins, like, I mean, that's the reason why 2K did so good with their basketballs, because they had to compete with NBA Live, which was, in comparison, NBA Live was the weaker game. But it was sold a crap ton because of EA. And then I'm pretty sure Take-Two now with NBA 2K series, I'm pretty sure they sell more than the live series now. I'm not 100% sure, but they're definitely way better games. I'm afraid that if EA, you know, merges with them, and then there's no, they're just going to turn into the NBA Live of basketball, but be the 2K games with no competition. Be like, all right, we're going to release the same thing every year, whereas 2K guys are usually pretty good for improving their game year after year.
Yeah, they are.
And I don't want to see NBA Live 2K go away. One of my favorite sports series. That's about it for the main news here. We have some news here that kind of took me by surprise. I was really, really surprised with this one, guys. You guys play your Wii every once in a while, and you guys know how much of a robust online system it has.
Still discovering stuff.
It's fantastic.
It's awesome. You know, you get voice chat with your games, and, you know, you can connect with anybody anytime by a click of a button.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so yeah. Okay, not, no. Like, now we're just lying to ourselves. It's like,
quit screwing around.
Mario Kart. Okay, I'll just say it. Mario Kart is going to have a text chat for the Wii. Yes. Text chat Mario Kart for the week.
Because that's exactly what I think about when I'm driving is typing.
It's like, and hold on, I'm going to pull over and text you.
Actually, no, there isn't. There is no text chat in Mario Kart for the Wii. So it's actually preset phrases available that you can just hit a button and say, great game, good race.
Oh my God.
What? Yeah, so you can't even type in stuff you want to say. So there you have it. So some news. Mario Kart, Wii, preset text chat.
What do we think?
Who gives a shit?
That sucked. Woo,
see,
we should just have that.
Maybe in Mario Kart we could have had, you know, who gives a shit, but I doubt it's going to be one of the preset phrases.
I'm sure it's going to be an awesome game. Yeah, exactly. It's going to be an awesome game, but it's that was disappointing to me. I'm like, yeah, I can deal with like the no voice chat. That's fine, even though they should have it. But at least let us type what we want. Are they that afraid people are going to be like of these child predators?
Yeah, actually, I mean. Yeah. I would be afraid of that, seriously. I mean, if I'm touting this system as a family system and I'm aiming at that target market, I want to have the smallest chance possible that this can get blown up on Fox News as being, you know, like a sex chat room with Mario games. So I can understand that, but does it hurt me as a gamer? And absolutely. But
damn right.
Parental controls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Learn them well. Give me my fucking voice chat, you bastards.
I mean, logistically, how the fuck are you going to do this in game? Is it just between matches? I mean, because you're driving the damn thing.
Yep.
I don't get it.
Well, I see people text messaging on their phone all the time when people are driving. Like real cars that could kill somebody. I don't know.
Oh,
maybe
man.
It's easy to drop banana peel and text at the same time.
Nice. I'm still trying to figure out why go-karts fire fucking banana peel.
Go Jaffy.
Yeah. Everything.
But that's the news for this week, Jared. Right there, guys.
Cool. Thanks, Jeff.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about shit. What are we talking about?
Favorite developers,
favorite developer
studios,
or publishers.
That's
right.
Who has direct access to your wallet?
How about that? And then we'll do new releases and listener email. So stay with us, and we'll be right back. It's time to wake up.
Interactive Distractions would like to publicly thank our many sponsors, kind and caring souls such as nobody. Really, it is fine. We will be okay on our own. Thanks anyway. If you need us, we will be turning tricks on the corner to pay our hosting fees. And now back to the show.
And we're back.
Oh, we are?
Yeah, I think so.
Yay!
Okay. All right.
Okay, well, Jeff's back. And I heard you.
I'm in a better mood, too. I found my Wipeout Pulse case.
Yay!
You guys didn't steal it.
What about the vitamins, though? So concerned about that.
Still can't find the vitamins, no. He's gonna have to do without his calcium. He might have to actually eat something with vitamin D. God forbid.
Is the case crushed like the Castlevania case?
No, but it does have these kind of like. It looks like something was kind of rest. It wasn't crushed, but it has these kind of like indents in them, like something was on top of it. Whatever. Nice. At least it's there.
Bastards. All right, so.
Yes.
So.
We're gonna talk a little bit about our favorite publishers and developers, and some of our listeners' favorite publishers and developers. So, since I think we're going to continue on the theme of starting with the emails from our listeners, Jason, I'll pass it off to you.
First up, Ricky Duty. He says, Ubisoft. They have good games and crappy games as well, but they're always doing something new and getting new licenses such as Naruto and Lost. That's very sad. And in my opinion, they raise the bar every time they do something new. Either with graphics and or gameplay. Too bad Assassin's Creed was so repetitive. I mean, the game looked great and the gameplay is good to a certain extent. The repetitiveness of it makes it old real quick. But the Naruto game was really good and they're always expanding it with new characters. The Lost game might rival Uncharted in graphics and Prince of Persia. Those games are awesome. I think that Ubisoft has a big range of different varieties of games and most of them are pretty good, unlike EA or Activision. Oh, snap! he said the oh, snap.
This.
Well, I mean, Ubisoft has been making some pretty good stuff, and Assassin's Creed, whereas as much as I, you know, complain about how disappointed I am, I mean, it was fun. It's just, you know, as he said, it was repetitive. I think they do definitely have an incredible base to work from for a sequel, and I look forward to that.
Like,
I'm curious about Ubisoft, how that's going to work.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
It's a game after a TV show. It will suck.
Yeah.
Mark my words.
And Ubisoft, they kind of lately, they kind of just throwing out these kind of games that do totally suck, because when they were first starting up, I guess it was last gen, when they had like the Prince of Persia and the Beyond Good and Evil and those games like Splinter Cell, it was like basically the one development studio, which is in Montreal, which is the best game still come out of Ubisoft Montreal, which is Canada. Woo! Canada. No love? Okay, cool.
Well, we gotta give you something, I guess. I mean, you're not...
Hey, we produced Jade Raymond. I mean, come on. She's Canadian.
Celine Dion. Excuse me.
You can't keep holding us to Celine Dion.
Oh, yes, I can. Watch me.
Oh, man. Okay, fine. Britney Spears. There you go.
Ouch.
You guys gotta speak.
Ouch.
Yeah. But yeah, no, Ubisoft... I thought they were better back in the day, where it's pretty much anything Ubisoft came out was gold, and they kind of looked like they're going the way of EA a little bit, just kind of throwing out stuff here and there, but they're kind of, I think they're getting back on the right track. Okay. As long as they don't get bought out by EA, because that'd be bad.
I think so too. All right. More emails. Nabo, best dev hands down, Red Storm Entertainment. The people behind both the Rainbow Six and the Ghost Recon franchises. And apparently that won America's Army port on the Xbox. Nonetheless, this dev cherishes its customers. Every time a game is made in the RS franchise, it is released first on the consoles, now that they've made the console versions. Reworked and then released on the console? Interesting.
PC, I think it means.
Yeah, I think so. You can feel the precision in the game, and now franchises like COD and other first-person shooter games strive to have the weapon customization that is in every single game by this company. Hands down, as a first-person shooter gamer, my hat is fucking tipped. So there.
I never played any of them, so I really didn't have much comment on that.
Ever played a Rainbow Six game, Chris?
No, I didn't. No, I haven't.
I recommend that. Definitely Vegas. Vegas is awesome. If you can get your hands on Rainbow Six 3, that is also really good. I'm sure you can get your hands on it. You can find it anywhere, basically. But
probably.
Ignore Lockdown if you see it.
Ignore Lockdown.
That
okay.
One's terrible. Actually, now, I don't know if Red Storm made Lockdown or not, but that game was terrible.
Are they really the pioneers that he's making them out to be?
Well, no, they were awesome. Like, Rainbow Six 3 on Xbox was amazing. That's probably the first game on Xbox Live that actually took off. And Red Storm definitely developed that one. And Ubisoft published it. And, yeah, they did Vegas 2, I think. I'm not sure if they're doing Vegas 2. That was a weird sentence. 2, as in, like, as well? Vegas, I'm sure now he'll let us know on the boards, but yeah, Lockout sucked. One was Rainbow Six 3 was awesome. Black Arrow was pretty cool, and then Rainbow Six Vegas was totally amazing. But I have no hands on it. You guys don't really like PC games. I guess you don't like first person shooters, so I guess you never tried the PC version. So because that's taking its word for it.
I'm sorry.
I do most of my gaming from the console because I can sit in front of my nice big 57-inch TV as opposed to my little 19-inch monitor, and I can chill out on the couch instead of sitting in an office chair.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Fair enough. All right. Aces High writes, "Hi, Aces High from VG Evo. Hello. Capcom has really shined to me this generation. They've brought out new IPs and are even making sequels to old arcade classics. Capcom still has two major titles for 2008, and maybe more we don't even know about. That's why Capcom is just the in development right now." What? I didn't. That's why Capcom is just the in development right now. That's all I got. I don't understand that last sentence, but.
That's okay. Right.
Okay. Moving on.
Capcom is awesome, but fix your damn save system in every game that you make.
What? I like collecting ribbons. Fuck you.
Well, I don't even mind that one as much, but, you know, Dead Rising. Dead Rising was fucking horrible, man. I think I played that game for about an hour and then was just so fed up with the fact that I had to go back to the one save spot that you have in the entire fucking mall. Yeah, that was the end of it for me.
Alright.
But, yeah. I agree, though. Capcom is definitely up there on my list.
Oh, yeah, totally. Ravenblade. Been too busy the last couple of weeks to send a proper email, but I can at least manage to answer the question of the week. Wouldn't say I have a favorite publisher, as too often they all tend to turn a lot of shit games, but I do have a number of developers I really like. Insomniac Games, for sure, right now, are one of the top developers. And for a small independent studio, they do some amazing work. Just on a tech side, they always do incredible work, yet they still manage to make games that are great fun as well. But it's how they deal with the community and how open they are with things like the new Nocturnal Initiative that makes them so good. But I would have to say my number one games developer is Psygnosis, now Sony Studios Liverpool. Really, I don't need to say anything more than just Wipeout, but I'll add these. Colony Wars, G-Police, Destruction Derby, and Shadow of the Beast, to name just a few. And they're still amazing games. Have you seen the latest Wipeout HD trailer in good quality? It's fucking sweet. And that's only the baby project. They're working on a full-blown PS3 Wipeout right now as well as HD, which is just for the PSN. I'm a fan of Formula One, and Studio Liverpool did a good job with the franchise, but with Sony not keeping the exclusive rights for the F1 anymore, it means both Studio Liverpool's teams are free to work on other games. So, Colony Wars on the PS3, anyone? Yes, please.
Yes, awesome. Please. Good God. I haven't seen a good space simulator in a long time.
Yes, this is honorable mention goes to the Bitmap Brothers for making Speedball 2.
Speedball 2.
I don't even know which game that is.
Neither do I.
He'll
have to enlighten us on the board.
Yeah.
But, oh, damn, Colony Wars, what I would give to have another one of those. Because, I mean, what's the closest thing that we've had to Colony Wars since Colony Wars? Project Siphon Filter? Sophie? Yeah, really.
Yeah.
And that was pretty trash. So.
Balls?
Yeah, it was balls. And he mentioned G-Police, too. I totally forgot about that game. That game was awesome.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, good call.
Especially with the Wipeout stuff. You're right, you really don't need to say anything else other than
that. Yeah, absolutely. After you say Wipeout, you're done. But, you know, it helps that they made things like Colony Wars, too.
All right, we also cheated a little bit for content this week. We pulled some stuff from the forum. These aren't actual emails, but got lots of stuff from it. Savory Cade. Isn't he on one of the other podcasts?
Yep, he's part of PS3 Nation.
Indeed he is. All right. Once upon a time, I would have said Sega, but they aren't just as good as they used to be since they went platform agnostic. I was a hardcore Sega fanboy until the end of the Dreamcast. They've been improving in the last year or so maybe they'll manage to get their act together again. I've got to say my favorite is definitely Capcom. Even when I was a Sega fanboy, it only slightly edged out my Capcom fanboyism. From their fantastic old school arcade games to the astoundingly awesome games they're putting out now, they've never seemed to lose their touch. Possibly lost their focus every now and again, but lately they seem to be back with a vengeance and doing everything right. From remakes to community interaction, they keep knocking it out of the park. Thank you, Savory.
I would agree.
I very much agree.
Especially with Devil May Cry. I mean, Devil May Cry is just fantastic, so I'm looking forward to seeing what else they do. I wish they would spend more time. If they're going to port something, I wish they would spend more time perfecting the port. Because apparently Lost Planet for PS3 is ridiculously bad.
Yeah. And it has a 5 gig install.
And it's got a 5 gig install.
And it's ridiculously bad.
Yeah.
Is it mandatory too?
Yeah, it's mandatory. I was watching. I was talking with Jared from PS3 Nation on the Shoutbox on VG Evo, and he was just telling me how, you know, it has frame rate issues, it doesn't look as good, and you know all this crap, and it's just not a good way to play the game. I mean, it's like if you don't have a 360, then don't bother. I mean, I asked him if he felt that if someone only had a PS3, if they should get Lost Planet for PS3. Mm-hmm. And he was like,
no.
He just didn't really know how to answer that question. So.
Yeah.
Very telling. Rusty Shackleford. He says, Nintendo, because I'm still playing Animal Crossing at least monthly, if not weekly. I also find myself going back to playing the old 2D Super Mario Brothers and Metroid. Nintendo fanboy. Yeah.
Nintendo games definitely always hold up years later.
I agree. I have no disagreements with that at all. I mean, three of my favorite franchises out there, Zelda, Metroid, and Super Mario. So.
And yeah, and pretty much any one of those games, like the proper versions that aren't spin-offs, are pretty much guaranteed gold from Nintendo. Yeah. You don't even need to read a review. You don't have to read anything about it. You just hear, oh, they're announcing a new Zelda game. Cool. The day it comes out, you just buy it, and you know it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, usually. C. Harlock, which I think stands for Captain Harlock.
Captain Harlock. Yep. Yep.
He says it's a close race between Capcom and Konami. That is a pretty close race. Moving on, Trickman Terry. You guys have heard of him. Trickman Terry says, Capcom, Nintendo, Konami, and SNK are all old school but continue to wow me with some of their newer releases. Ken from VGEvo as well. He dittos that, as do I. All four of those are favorites of mine.
I agree as well.
Awesome students. Dizzy says, Valve and Clover Studios, which is sadly no more. Orange Box was fantastic, and Okami was just incredible. In terms of a steady stream of great games, though, it has to be Insomniac. Wow.
I have to comment on Valve.
Yep.
Yes, they are great, and they did a great job with Orange Box, but damn it, stop bitching about the PS3 and just fucking develop your own stuff. Don't give it to EA, who does a half-assed job and turns your incredible title into crap.
But do you think they had a say in that, though? Because EA published the Orange Box on all platforms, so do you think EA probably said, hey, listen, we'll publish it, but we're putting this out on PS3 as well. And Gabe Newell hates the PS3 architecture. He's been pretty blunt and kind of outspoken about that since day one. And he probably said, you know what, fine, you guys can do it, but we ain't doing it for you.
Whatever.
Interesting. Bad Leroy Brown. Who is that, Jared?
Jared.
Yeah. Gotcha. With the PS3 Nation podcast. Another Capcom lover. He says, I got to go with Capcom. They've just been kicking ass this generation. That they have. Stoffinator. I would have to say Insomniac. They've really stepped up the game this generation, bringing out a top-notch game every year. One better than the next. Kojima Production. I would also have to put up there on the list, followed by Naughty Dog. In all, I would have to say Sony's first party stepped their game up this generation. Cool.
I agree with that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially Naughty Dog. They surprised the hell out of me with Uncharted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Nowhere with that. KSQ. Being an RPG player at my core, I have to go with Square. I think I bought everything they did in the States. When I was younger, it was Nintendo during the 8-bit time frame. More recently, I have to go with BioWare and Insomniac. I keep seeing this on Insomniac.
Who are BioWare these Canadian? Insomniac people?
BioWare. Amberato? Did I say that right? I hope so. They say, a tough one. Obviously, I would say Square because I just adore the Final Fantasy games. Infinity Ward, Capcom, Valve, Rockstar North, Kojima Productions, Insomniac, Naughty Dog, all good developers, so it's really hard to say. I'm still playing Call of Duty 4 now, so I would have to say Infinity Ward is a company. I prefer developers to publishers. Well, I do too. All great companies. Yeah. Bork, which podcast is he from?
He's from Broadcast Gamer.
Oh, you cut out there?
He's from Broadcast Gamer.
Broadcast Gamer.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I knew that. I'm just pimping these guys, kind of. Anyway, Level 5 is probably one of my favorites in the last 10 years. Beyond that, I still love Nintendo and Capcom quite a bit. Much love for the Level 5.
Thank you for that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to get more to that later, but I definitely agree with the Level 5 comment.
Cool.
Just want to say that.
Industria, part of Industrial Gamers. They just did the Final Fantasy 7 and 8 marathon.
Which I totally missed because our Nazi fucking network at work wouldn't let us
see it. I kept trying to log in, and I'm like, what? These guys are really running late. It's like 2 hours into the cast.
I know.
I don't know what
the fuck's going on. I was kind of watched it off and on yesterday. It's kind of cool. Yeah. They didn't actually... are they doing the whole game?
They were supposed to be doing the whole game, yeah.
And for how long?
Just as long as it takes.
Yeah, I think they were trying to do it over the weekend, so I think it's still going to be running. I don't think they're done yet.
Okay.
I think so. Anyway,
they're going on
Industry
stock?
Says, it's Sorry. Pretty tough for me, as I have a lot of game studio love. I love Capcom and Konami, especially, or specifically Kojima Pro. But I would have to say my favorite studio would be Sony in-house development teams. To be exact, Team Ico. Team Ico has produced two of my favorite games of all time, and Sony has produced a lot of damn good titles itself. Very cool.
Agreed.
Wally's One? I think that's what it is. I'd have to say Nintendo from day one. Some of my others have been Square, SNK, Capcom, and Sega. All staples. Terminal, also known as Tiny URL. Insomniac Games are my numero uno. Naughty Dog is another favorite developer, as well as Team Ico and Sony Santa Monica. They're all at a point of I will buy anything they release. There are other devs, but I. There are other devs right? that I like, but they stand out the most. Sorry for the stutter.
That's okay. You're reading a lot of shit right now, so we'll excuse you this time.
Backsider 578, Square Enix. I don't know how to pronounce this one. Thisu?
I think that's it.
Something 31. Anyway, Square Enix, more specifically Square. He really appreciates how it got its start, and they have a high percentage of quality games. And we also have Proc that chimed in with easily Blizzard and Valve. See a lot of recurring themes here. But that's all I've got for comments.
Cool. Well, who wants to go first?
Not me.
Jeff, you said you didn't have much, so...
I don't have much. It's like I was just going to comment as we go along. But my favorite companies kind of vary depending on what I was playing any given generation. Like, for Genesis days, it was really spread out. Like, I could have even picked... I loved when Konami and Capcom finally went over to the Sega Genesis because I was so jealous of Super Nintendo friends who had all the Capcom games, Konami games, and I remember when I heard that Konami was going to make Genesis games, I was so happy, and like the Ninja Turtles Hyperstone Heist, and they brought the Castlevania franchise over Bloodlines, and that was awesome. Capcom finally brought over Street Fighter. Again, Sega Saturn days, I loved working designs, and because they were basically the team that ported all the good role-playing type games and these weird kind of like quirky games from Japan over. They'd be the only ones who did it, and they had the best packaging ever in the history of video games.
And I'm going to jump in right here.
Yeah.
All right.
Because Working Designs is my favorite company, period. I actually, it started back in the Sega CD days when I picked up Lunar, Silver Star Story for the first time. And after that, I got Vi, for the Sega CD, and then Potful Mail came out, and then Lunar 2 came out, and I was hooked. I currently own every game that Working Designs has ever released. All the way back to the TurboGrafx days. They actually released 6 games on the TurboGrafx, including one that is a favorite of Glenn Torgo and mine, which is Parasol Stars. And and it's exactly what you said. The packaging was phenomenal. Whereas their voice acting wasn't always the greatest, their translation was usually really good, and they usually stuck in so much like little humor and stuff in their games. Like Popful Mail had like this big brute character that they imitated Arnold Schwarzenegger's voice. I mean, it was just fantastic. I mean, I love all the stuff that they've done. And I continue to wish they were still around. So
I did too. Great. I mean, they really kind of kept the RPG genre alive for a long time, because when like Lunar came out, I think that there was a pretty large drought for RPGs at the time.
They basically gave you something to play in between the Square or Enix releases.
Yeah,
because they were like once every couple of years. So
I definitely have to chime in for, you know, the great box art and the packaging and everything, because nobody was doing that at the time.
No, nobody was. I mean, they did an amazing job with it, and I mean, to this day, I still can't believe how well their stuff has come out. Now, I mean, admittedly, they didn't start out that way. You know, their TurboGrafx games are not as you know, as well done as they did. I mean, but it, once they started putting games out for Sega CD, that's mm-hmm. where it started. You know, yeah. Sega CD, and then the Saturn, and then the PlayStation, and then the PS2. All the stuff was great, and Victor Ireland was, you know, I actually got a chance to meet him because E3 was in Atlanta a couple of years, and I actually worked for it 1 year, so I got to go around and, you know, I walked up to the Working Designs booth, and I got to meet him for a second, and we chatted for a little bit, and he's a really down-to-earth guy, really cool, and, you know, I'm sad to see what happened to the company that he had, mm-hmm. and, I mean, I think he had a good dream. And I still think that it was a small team that was doing it like part time because they always did have to delay their games a lot.
Yeah.
But you know, it was always worth the wait, and it was a shame to see them go when they had a game ready to come out. You know, mm-hmm. and Sony basically said, "No, we don't want that game on our system."
Yeah.
So, and the game was Goemon. I don't know if everybody mm-hmm. knows that or not, but. They had Goemon pretty much done, and it was waiting for approval, and Sony did not approve it. And that's when they said, fuck it, we're not doing this anymore. So,
oh, wow.
Working Designs, I miss you. I miss you a lot.
Yes, they were awesome.
And I will continue to brag about the fact that I have every game that you ever released.
That's quite a collection. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm actually going to take pictures of them and put them on the collections thread on VG Evo. It's something that I told Terry that I was going to do a couple weeks ago, and I just never got around to doing it. So this is perfect timing for me to do it now. So
I can attest it's magnificent. Truly, the collection.
Yes.
We
figured.
Right. I'm sorry, Jeff. Awesome. I didn't mean to take over your.
Speech. That's fine. I wasn't going to go into too much detail, and you did. That's perfect. Mm-hmm. You're the bigger fan of Working Designs than me. That's for sure. I just really like.
There's not many out there that are a bigger fan of Working Designs than
we bear our soft sounds underbelly like to you, Chris.
Nice.
Treasure made awesome games back in the 16-bit days. Like Gunstar Heroes is one of my favorite games of all time for 16-bit, and that game Alien Soldier was awesome, but freaking ridiculously hard. That was for the Sega Genesis or Mega Drive, and in Saturn days as well. Yeah, I loved like. Anything Sega, like, I want to say, like, I like Sega as a whole, but AM2, especially, and Sonic Team were just on their game during the Sega Saturn times. Like, they were just awesome, and even into the early Dreamcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, Dreamcast times, too.
Yeah, and the Virtual Fighter game is still going strong now, and that series. Sadly, once they decided to go multi-platform, like, was it Savory Kate said, that they just kind of went to shit, because kind of diluted their talent. And I think the last game I could see, right now it's even hard for me to pick out Sega-made games, but the last two I remember playing that I actually enjoyed were Panzer Dragoon Orta and Gun Valkyrie. It was like the last two that were pretty cool, and they were both kind of early Xbox titles. And other than that, and like I haven't played any of the newer ones like Yakuza or anything like that, but they kind of... Now, back in the day, when I saw Sega, I bought their games. Now, it's just kind of like, I'll read a few reviews first.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way with Sega. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Konami's always been great, Konami and Nintendo, but I think the one company I'd say is probably my favorite of all time, and this actually took me a while to decide because I don't really can't really have a favorite, but if there's one consistent company from when I started gaming to now, it's Capcom. Like every generation they put out good stuff. Like they put out crap here and there, but they take risks and they go with sure shots, and sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But mm-hmm. I think every single generation, Capcom has at least, I'd say, between 8 and probably 8 to 10 to 12, maybe 12 games a generation that are like AAA titles that everybody should play. And that's probably my favorite.
Yeah. Back in the day, I probably would have said Square because I was playing a lot of Final Fantasy. I was very much into the Final Fantasy RPG scene. It kind of progressed into, you know... I have to name Konami just because they've made, well, rather, you know, Kojima made two of my favorite games of all time. That's Metal Gear Solid and Snatcher. Just very soft spots for those games. But my all-around, you know, favorite company is the same as Jeff's. That's Capcom.
Nice.
I can't tell you how much I love the Street Fighter series and just, you know, a majority of their fighting series in general. Between that and all of their platformers, you know, you gotta love Mega Man, love Resident Evil. I just, there's so many you know, really high quality titles. And as Jeff said before, you know, they do take a lot of risks as well. You know, I wish that there was one, like, you know, small independent studio that I could claim to be, you know, rather proud of, but it's
yeah,
Capcom.
They're huge. And they did take, like, I mean, Clover Studios and that stuff, like, they kind of took risks on that kind of thing, and unfortunately they did have to close them down, but hey, you know, they
did what they could, right? And I definitely fault them for whatever happened there, you know, I don't want to say fault them specifically, but I'm sad to see Clover go away from
it
them.
It came down to sales, basically.
Yeah.
And it's really a shame, too, because, I mean, Okami was just fabulous.
Awesome.
Game.
Gorgeous.
It was an incredible game.
Great game.
And I know not many people liked God Hand. I actually did.
I thought God Hand was pretty good. Mm-hmm. I had a buddy of mine came over and brought the game with him, and I was like, oh, I didn't even know about this game, and I was pretty impressed with it. So,
well, one thing I want to say about Capcom was another reason why I chose this is Capcom always seemed to get me right back in the thick of gaming. Or to a point where I need to buy a system for a game. Like, they had the killer apps, I'd say, from back in, like, NES days to now, because I remember, like, Strider for the Genesis, even though I don't think they developed the Genesis version, but the Genesis version was based on the arcade version, which was done by Capcom, and totally different than the NES version. That game was awesome. Had to have that. That's one of the reasons I had to have, like, a Genesis. I'm like, this game is freaking amazing. Had to buy it. Then, you know, Next Generation came along, and then they had Final Fight, which is in the cart, or made me in, like, go back to the arcades again and again, over and over again. And then Street Fighter 2. Same thing. Street Fighter 2, they had me hooked back to arcades again, playing Street Fighter 2. And then a couple of generations later, Devil May Cry, the first Devil May Cry, made me really, really want a PS2. Like, that their game made me like, I need that game. I need that system. Awesome. And then this generation now, they were the first company to put out two pretty damn good games on their first try in Dead Rising and Lost Planet for the 360. And I remember Lost Planet, I was looking forward to so much. That was like one of the first game shows I saw, like, wow, this is like truly next gen stuff. Like, you know, before Gears of War, that was the closest thing we had to what was just definitive next gen, especially in graphics. Well, mostly only in graphics, actually. The gameplay was totally old school, but yeah. Graphic wise, and Dead Rising was something. And then, hey, and they just keep going. They keep impressing me every single time.
Yeah. And while they aren't, you know, hit or miss sometimes, they don't have direct access to my wallet or anything, but, you know, more often than not, they're making really high-quality stuff.
Yeah.
And it's all over the place, too. It's not just, you know, fighting games or action games. They're making all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah. They did Breath of Fire, right? Yeah, they...
Capcom, yeah, they did Breath of Fire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that was another series. That's a series that I think doesn't get as much credit. I would love to get another Breath of Fire game.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think what they put, like, what, Dragon Quarter? Is that the one they put out on PS2?
No idea.
I don't remember. But it wasn't like a true, it didn't feel like a true Breath of Fire game. And, you know, I loved Breath of Fire 1, 2, and I liked 3 a lot on the PlayStation 1. But I have 4, and I never played it. But after that, it just kind of fell off the map. I would like to see another Breath of Fire. Capcom, are you listening? Breath of Fire.
Of course they are.
Pay attention to me.
Of course. Well, I don't really have too much else to add. I mean, that about sums it up right there.
All right, cool. Well, I have to give some love to Level 5.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm in disbelief about how much I am enjoying pretty much all the games that they've put out. They started with Dark Cloud 2. I didn't play that one because I didn't really play Dark Cloud 1, so I just kind of skipped 2 altogether. But they did Dragon Quest 8. I mean, Rogue Galaxy, you guys have heard me go on and on about that game.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of my top RPGs as of right now. And
okay, I got to ask you. I know it's kind of going like a little sidebar here, but it's still related to Rogue Galaxy. How repetitive, because I remember reading reviews. I want to get that game. I'm on this like huge RPG kick, by the way. How repetitive is the battle system in the dungeons?
I didn't think it was too repetitive.
No.
I mean, it's an action based battle system, and okay. I mean, the way it works is, I mean, you can make it whatever you want, pretty much, because you can choose to control whichever character you want to, and each character is better at specific things. But one of the cool things about it is you do only control one character, but your other characters are being controlled by the AI and fighting. And if they want to, like, cast a spell or use an item or something like that, they'll call whatever character you're controlling, they'll call out that his or her name and say, and they'll bring up two options, and you pick using the shoulder buttons what you want them to do. And okay. I thought that was a really cool idea to put into the battle system. You know, it's a lot of button mashing when it comes to fighting, because it's mm-hmm. the combos are pretty much all the same button, but you also have a melee and a ranged attack. Mm-hmm. And then you have your techniques, and you have joint techniques with other characters. So I didn't think it was that repetitive. The only time I ever got annoyed with combat is when I was looking for specific items for use in the factory. Because there were times when I had to go back and, you have to fight a specific creature that makes a specific drop. And you only have an X percent chance of that drop happening. So after you fight so many of these guys, it's like, fuck.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
You know, that's all optional side quest stuff anyway. So it's not that big of a deal.
Should he buy it or not?
I think anybody who enjoys RPGs should try Rogue Galaxy.
Because mm-hmm. What I'm going to try to do now is, no matter what type of year, whatever games I'm playing, I always want to have a role-playing game to go through as kind of like a, when I don't have anything else to play, kind of move along in. So I figure after Lost Odyssey, I'm either going to go back to either Final Fantasy XII, Persona 3, or Rogue Galaxy is my third choice. So, or maybe even Final Fantasy X. So we'll see.
Well, I personally liked Rogue Galaxy. Well, I can't say I liked it better than Final Fantasy XII because I haven't played it yet. But, I mean, Rogue Galaxy was enough to keep me interested, and I put like 60 hours into the game. So,
cool.
Fair enough. So level 5.
Yeah, and level 5. You know, Jeanne d'Arc, Professor Layton now is done by level 5.
Yeah.
Level 5 is doing Dragon Quest IX. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I can't deny that they're doing some really great stuff right now. Yeah, White Knight Chronicles is coming out, which, thank you, Jeff. I don't know how I missed that. hi, my most anticipated game of 2008, and I forgot to mention it. but yeah, so level 5 is definitely ranks up there on my list. I have to say that Insomniac has really climbed up my list the past couple weeks. Mm-hmm. Between that hilarious music video they did for the careers. I mean, that shit was awesome.
Like a recruitment vid?
Yeah, the recruitment video that they did, that was incredible. I laughed my ass off watching that. And then with the whole Nocturnal Initiative, I think that is just fantastic of them to do.
And I totally agree.
We touched on that quite a bit last week when we were talking with Glenn about it, and if there were more companies out there that did that kind of stuff, you would never see bullshit like the Lost Planet port we got for PS3.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, I just think that more companies need to get out there and do that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I could be wrong, but was it Insomniac that was voted the most, or at least in the top three best companies to work for?
Past 3 years, they have gotten in the top 10 small to medium businesses to work
for.
That's
what I thought. And I'm pretty sure BioWare might be on there, too. Or they were on the Canadian ones. I can't remember. But yeah, everything I've read is like, it's odd. Like, people work there. They don't overwork their staff. They don't, like, you know, they just, everyone loves it. And they put out good shit. So, I mean, you know.
I am really trying to get them on the show. I really want someone from Insomniac to come on the show.
I didn't put them too high on the list just because I'm really not too familiar with their stuff. Like, I didn't play a Ratchet & Clank game till I had my PS3. Like, I tried Going Commando before I bought the new one. And Resistance, like, I didn't play, what was it? What was their first person shooter? Disruptor. Yeah, see, I never played that, so I really didn't have too much experience with them, really, until the PS3. But I liked Resistance, and I really liked Ratchet & Clank, so they're definitely up
there. If you liked Bioshock, you probably would have liked Disruptor in the day.
Really?
Yeah, because it was the same kind of idea. You still had the guns and stuff, but then you had your psionic powers that you got to use too. But they also did like the first few Spyro games, and then Ratchet & Clank, obviously. So, but yeah, Insomniac has just from what they're doing for the gaming community as a whole makes them rank up there on my list.
They're swell guys.
They're swell.
And gals.
And you guys talked about Capcom, so I'm not going to go into too much detail, but Hi, Bionic Commando Rearmed. That's all I need to hear.
Yeah.
But I have to say
nobody
that...
said Bungie.
Jeez. God, that Halo series. Oh. But the, you know, next to Working Designs, I can't really say they're my Working Designs is my favorite anymore because they no longer exist. Tier. Konami is definitely the top of mine because I just can't see myself living without the Castlevania series, to be honest with you. Plus, when you throw in Metal Gear, Gradius, I mean, one of the best shmup series is out there. And I just, I love a lot of the stuff that they do. Zone of Enders, even though nobody even cared about the game when it first came out, it was like one of those things with Crackdown. It's like, hey, Crackdown comes with the beta for Halo. Well, at the time, Zone of Enders came with the demo disc for Metal Gear Solid 2. And I ended up playing Zone of Enders all the way through, and I was like, man, this is fucking fantastic. So, you know, they have a lot of games like that out there that don't get a whole lot of credit, but really deserve it. So, yeah, Konami gets my vote. They're probably my, I mean, I understand that they're more of
existing developer.
Yeah. Gotcha. And they're more of a publisher because they've got so many development teams within, but, you know, all of those development teams are doing quality stuff, so. Yeah, there you go. And they do DDR, so there you go. Beatmania, Guitar Freaks. You know, where all this
shit came
from.
So they do put out some shit.
No, Guitar, what are you talking about? That's where Guitar Hero came from.
Yeah, but they couldn't get any licensing, so that's why it sucked.
Well, they didn't try to get American licensing, as far as I know. Yeah. I don't know, but. They had all the Japanese music, and it's like, that just doesn't hold well here, so. Anyway. Cool, well, that's my addition. You guys have anything else?
No.
Nope.
I do want to mention something.
For one of our features, we should have our least favorite developers, or developers who think they're the shit. That'd be fun.
That would be a very interesting conversation. Gorilla! Oh, sorry. I'm not going to go there because I haven't seen Killzone 2 in action yet. So
that's true.
We'll wait and see how that turns out. I did want to say this because this was kind of cool, and I figured we'd do it now because we read his email. And if I can actually figure out where I'm going, one of the people that posted on the board about their favorite developer, the Sow, I think is how it is, the Sow 31. He's new to VG Evo, and he just registered, and I thought this is really cool what he said. He said, I recently got him into podcasts and have fallen in love with the dynamic duo of Interactive Distractions and PlayStation Nation. And that's what got him to sign up to VG Evo. So,
that's cool.
The Sal, thank you very much. That's really cool of you to say. And PlayStation Nation, guys, I got to tell you, if we're the dynamic duo, we're Batman. That's just the way it goes.
I'll get the tattoo.
Sorry,
Chris doesn't look good in red and green. So
no, it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with Jason and the big ass Batman tattoo on the back of his leg.
Friggin' hey,
that's all we need to say. We can't be Robin because you know Jason's got that big ass Batman tattoo. It just doesn't work out.
Exactly.
No. Cool. All right. Well, let's get on to new releases then, shall we?
Shall
let's
we
do it? There's nothing good coming out this week, though, so come on.
No, everything this week is shit.
Let's just skip it.
Yeah, all right. Emails. No. so on the Wii, Bully Scholarship Edition, Major League Baseball 2K8, Ninja Reflex. Do you guys have any idea what this is?
No clue.
I've heard little things about it, but nothing big.
Okay.
We really neglect the Wii, you know that?
Hey.
That's not necessarily because you know Super Smash Brothers Brawl is coming out.
That's true. When that comes out, I'm sure we'll all be playing it.
Yeah, Super Smash Brothers Brawl comes out on Sunday the 9th or something. I don't know what date it is.
It'll be the Sunday coming up.
I was not a huge fan of the original games, but I did pre-order this one. But
well, I have to say,
because
things...
I really need more games for the Wii.
Well. I just need to go back and finish playing No More Heroes because that game really is really good and I love playing it. It's just that I've got so many other games to play.
Yeah.
But one of the things that really entices me about Super Smash Brothers is the fact that Isn't there like a different adventure mode for every character or something?
Yeah, you just want to see the Peach panty shot stuff.
Yeah, well, of course. Actually, I'm more of a fan of Zelda, personally.
Diddy Kong. I mean,
jeez.
Yeah.
You're off the show, man. We're getting someone new. All right, so for the shovelware system, I mean the DS.
Yeah, the shovelware.
Let's ride friends forever.
I have no idea. Is that let's ride friends forever?
That's a good question. Let's ride friends forever.
Let's ride friends forever.
Is it friends with
benefits? They're friends with benefits.
I don't know.
And, hey, you know,
this could be a mature rated game, and I just don't know about it.
Could be.
That's right. Anno 1701. I have no idea what that is. Chicken Hunter.
Hey.
No shit. Echo Creatures Save the Forest. Imagine Figure Skater.
I can only imagine.
Mystery Dungeon, Ninja Reflex again, mm-hmm. Pets, Bunnies with Z's. And then, Jeff, this one's awesome. I talked to Jason about this one earlier before we started recording. Homie Rollers. No shit. And it's got a Z at the end. It's Homie Rollers.
Oh my god.
that's your shovelware for the DS. Yeah. 360 Bully Scholarship Edition, Major League Baseball.
I might 2K. Get that one. I might.
Bully?
Yeah, I actually like the game. I never got to play it all the way through though on the PS2. So this might be an opportunity.
Bully Scholarship Edition for 360. You know, you got an achievement for kissing a guy, so that's right up your alley. Sorry. Jason, you still with us?
Pretty much done. Yeah, I'll be back next week. I'm done kissing all the boys and stuff. You know,
Major League Baseball 2K8 and Army of Two.
That comes out.
Yeah, apparently. According to EB Games, it's coming out next week.
That just kind of fell off the radar. That one
it did.
It did, and one of our buddies was asking me about it. Jeff, are you getting Army of Two?
Most likely not.
Most likely not. Okay, because I'm not. I don't know anything about it anymore. It was.
I'll rent it.
Trying to hook up our buddy John with someone to play with online.
Yeah, but Jeff will probably get it on the 360, and John's getting it on PS3 probably.
Yeah.
Speaking of PS3,
hey.
Major League Baseball 2K8, Army of Two, and MLB 08 The Show.
Well, we know one person is definitely getting MLB The Show, right? Glenn's a huge MLB fan.
Yeah, he is.
Well,
Actually, I think they're having a. I think they're having one of the developers on the show this week. I don't know. I might be wrong.
Cool.
PS2, Major League Baseball 2K8, MLB 08 The Show, and Silent Hill Origins. Mm-hmm.
Play the PSP port, right? Not bad.
Yeah, it's the PSP port.
Cool.
And speaking of PSP,
hey,
we got lots of good segues in this new release.
Getting better.
I don't know if they're good segues, man. I don't know.
Major League Baseball 2K8.
Yes.
MLB 08 The Show. And
ready for it.
God of War, Chains of Motherfucking Olympus.
God of War! Yeah!
Oh my
god. Fuck yeah!
Are you done?
I've been holding that in for like 2 hours.
Wow.
Did you clean up after yourself when you were done?
Yes. Wearing two pairs of boxers.
Yes, God of War Chains of Olympus is finally coming out. The biggest game ever for the PSP.
It's going to be huge.
I can't fucking wait.
If you don't have a PSP,
there.
People, buy one.
Day Please. One, I will be there getting that game.
This one's reviewed in our Fuck awesome. Yeah column.
Yes, this one is definitely in the Fuck Yeah column. We had two games in the Fuck Yeah column this week. It was that and Super Smash Brothers.
No, we had Homie Rollers, too.
You just added that while I was going down the PS2 list. I watched you. And that's why I giggled.
It's in the fuck yeah biatch column.
biatch.
See, that totally went over my head, the whole Smash Brothers thing, because I always forget that Nintendo releases their first-party stuff on Sundays, and then when you're like, oh, well, we can get Super Smash Brothers, and I was like, yeah, we'll all get that. And I'm thinking, because we record this before, I'm like, oh, yeah, that is coming out this week.
I go Monday to Sunday, so when I do the... When I do the new releases, I do it from the Monday they're released to the following Sunday. And Super Smash Brothers is coming out this Sunday, if you're listening on Monday. So there you go.
Coolio.
And that's new releases for this week. God of War!
PSP one? Yeah, there he is. Yeah, woo!
God of War.
Yeah.
Chains of motherfucking Olympus.
I can have one of those days when, like, I can't get to sleep on Monday, and I'm going to be all, like, you know, excited and get up early and then go to be let down that they don't have the game yet. Then I'll have to go to work, be all antsy at work.
He'll be pissed off, jumping down his boss's throat. Did you get that? Shut the fuck up! I'm sorry. Yeah.
Don't fuck with Kratos, motherfucker.
And if anybody did not know, God of War is Jeff's favorite series, favorite action
series. It is. By far.
This is a good action month. We got Devil May Cry 4 and we got New God of War.
That's right.
I know the first thing I'm going to do is hook my PSP up to my TV and play it on the TV. So. Definitely going to take advantage of that feature.
I'm going to as well. That's a good idea. Have you guys done that yet? Does it look good? Look okay?
I've done it on several games. I did it with Zhenda Arc, and it actually does look really good for that one. I did it on Ratchet and Clank. That one doesn't look so good.
Okay.
But Patapon looks fantastic.
Do they shrink down the screen? Like, it's basically like a smaller TV inside your TV?
Yeah, basically. They keep the resolution the same. It pulls up the screen in 480p, basically. And then the screen is reduced to the resolution of the PSP, which is, you know, whatever it is, 300 and something. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But, cool. So a lot of the games, you know, some games look really, really good. I think that God of War is going to end up looking pretty fantastic on there, mainly because of the fact that they increased the processor speed to 333.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And unfortunately, when Insomniac made Ratchet and Clank, they didn't have that ability, I don't think.
No, they didn't.
So they had to work with what they had, and it doesn't look so great on the big screen. I mean, the game is still fantastic, and it still looks great on the PSP, but...
Yeah, just not on the big screen. Right. Basically, Ready at Dawn basically pulled what Epic did with Microsoft. They basically went to Sony and was like, listen, we know we can do this, and you don't want us to, but hear us out here. Here is God of War running...
At 222, and here it is at 333.
Exactly, and Sony's like, yeah, you know what? Go with the 333.
Yeah. And you can't blame them, especially with the Slim out now, and it's got a better battery life, and now you can get better batteries for the older one. You know, they're doing the best they can with it, but you know, stepping up to 333 was definitely a good move.
Oh yeah,
God of War.
Yeah.
Woo. All right, Jason, let's wrap up. What we got for emails?
We have one email. No voicemails.
Yes, no voicemails.
No voicemails.
Don't tell people that, Jason. What we should say is, you know, guys, we don't have time for voicemail. We're just going to
get this one. We have tons of shits of emails and voicemails.
We're running out of time and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Nabo writes in. The first line was something about he's very pissed at his sister, and he wishes that she'd shut the fuck up or something. Anyway, so he goes on and he says, so because I'm pissed, you get no voicemail. Instead, I present an email with an attempt at punctuation. Back, close your eyes and imagine it's 2009. Home has been out for 6 months now. There are a lot of people on it, from developers and gamers to those morons who think Halo is a good game and just happen to have $600 to piss away on a virtual MySpace. Anyway, it's conference time for a new developer, but they don't want to have just an ordinary press release. They want to have a conference inside of home, displaying the first ever footage on the big screen in the theater. After that, you decide it's time to stroll over to the arcade and check out what your friends are doing. You notice an air hockey and pool table tournament, along with Boric facing every VG Evo member and still managing to beat the living shit out of them. The day ends with a quick chat with your friends, but instead of just using voice, you actually select a TV on a wall and talk to each other while using the 6 streaming TVs that show each gamer's camera output. Well, it's midnight and E3 starts next week. Good thing Sony's press conference is done completely in-home, and every screen in the theater will be showing a live feed. You hit up the IGN and GameSpot sectors of home, check out their live shows, realize they still fucking suck, and you call it a day. That was from Nabo.
All right.
That would be really cool if they did that.
How about first we wait and
get
see
home out there,
put out, and if it even works.
Well, did you guys hear what they're doing with, like, Resistance and Warhawk and Uncharted?
Yeah, and stuff like that, yeah.
Very excited about that.
Yeah, I have to say, the Uncharted 2D version of the game or whatever it is that they're doing, that's pretty cool, but what really impressed me was the Warhawk one. I mean, the fact that they're going to have, like, scale 3D models of the stages so that you could plan out your strategies and stuff with the people that are on your team.
Might actually play Warhawk then.
Oh, holy crap.
I bought the game and the fucking expansion. I've played it like 10 minutes.
We should play it.
We should.
I know.
Cool. That's our goal. Well, you guys have any closing thoughts?
Should I move to the new question? I didn't prepare anything. No, I'm good.
Well, the new question of the week is more of, it's not really a question. We want to hear some video game confessionals.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell us about crappy games that you played for no particular reason.
I don't care about the crappy games so much as if you enjoyed them or not. Like if you really loved Barbie Horse Adventures. Some other suggestions are like something that you're ashamed of. You know, we're all friends here. You know, this is the comfort of our own little community. It doesn't go out to, you know, everybody in the world. But let's say you've never played Super Mario Brothers. Would you ever really admit that in public? It's time for you to do so now. Or maybe you despise Halo and refuse to play it because your girlfriend kicked your ass in it.
Or maybe do you have really high hopes for Home that will never possibly come to fruition? Oh, wait,
or, you
we
know,
just
if
had
you
one.
Like Blair or something.
Damn.
Something to that effect. Whatever.
Somebody painted a target on Nabo's chest.
He did that himself.
It's because he doesn't realize that punctuation also means, you know, capitalization as well. Like, I see it a lot more like periods and commas and stuff, and, you know, bravo. But
yeah.
You just say I had to read through this thing like 3-4 times before I could make sense of it.
Just say proper grammar.
Proper grammar.
That's right. Cool. So video game confessional, send it in to us at email at interactivedistractions, or for God's sake, send us a voicemail. The number is
to go with all the other ones we have stored.
That's
up
right,
waiting.
All 0 of them. I think we've had one, and it was from. It
we
was
can't
from,
sound desperate.
Oh, it's from Ricky. It was like half.
It was Ricky.
He's
like, "Hey,
so sick.
Great job on the show. Thanks,
Ricky. We love
this
you.
This cost me 10 cents."
So, yeah, voicemail line is 818-528-GAME.
Game.
That's 818-528-4263. You can also reach us on Skype at Interactive Distractions. That's one word.
All
so, lots and lots of ways to contact us, so do yes. it. You can also see us at the forums on VGEvo.com. And I'm in the shout box most of the day. And, you know, when Jeff's at work, he is too.
Yes.
But this week he wasn't at work.
I wasn't today because I missed 2 days of work, so today I was kind of really busy catching up. Yeah, I was actually doing work. So kind of
scary thought.
Yeah.
Well, cool. It's 12:45, guys. I'm ready to go to bed.
Yeah.
Good so on that note, I thank you guys, I thank our listeners very much for joining us and for sticking around for the entire show. And send in your emails and your voicemails, and see you next week.
Cool. That we will.
Gotta warp.